time tonight, the lights. It's time to play the music. It's time for the Muppet Show tonight. Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in very special 100th, in quotation, episode. We have a very, very, very jam-packed week for you with a ton of freaks from all over the industry. But before we get there, let's introduce our panel. We have Martin.
Hi.
There's a huge delay. That it just threw me off. We have Daniel.
Greetings.
And we have Jason.
What's going on?
Yes, Anthony is on a road trip, and Chad is actually studying for finals, which I was surprised. I didn't know he did that. or midterms, I should say. I hate schools that have tri-semesters or whatever they want to call it. Trimesters? No, that's pregnancy. Anyhow, neither here nor there. Like I said, we have a huge show. There's a ton of information. Sony has this huge event that we don't know what they're going to show on Wednesday. And, you know, Nintendo had a Direct this week. There was MPDs. There was this, that. But before we get there, we have people who've actually been playing new games. So let's kick it off there. And we'll start with Daniel.
All right. So I've been playing actually quite a lot of stuff lately. I bought a sort of an indie cel-shaded Doom clone called Rack, which is pretty cool. I'm not really going to say anything more about that. You should buy it. It's like $10. I've been playing a bunch of horror games because I got a couple of friends over and we had some alcohol and we were drinking. We were playing horror games, scaring the crap out of everybody. And
that's what you do.
Yeah, there's one called One Late Night, which is set in an office, and like it seems normal at first, and it sort of gradually gets weirder and weirder. It's really cool. There was the new Slender game, Slender the Arrival, which is you can get for like $6 now or something like that. While it's in pre-order until March, at the moment it's the same. It's pretty much the same as the 8 pages. You know, you go around collecting 8 pages, and you get stalked by Slenderman. But there's going to be new. They're adding new levels and new monsters at some point. So, you know, you pay now, you get it at half price, and you get all the updates. So that's pretty cool. And I've been playing a game called Depression Quest, and I think Depression Quest is probably the most interesting. It's built off of this thing called Twine, and basically what Twine does is it allows you to create kind of like a point-and-click adventure game, just not a point-and-click adventure game, a text adventure game with set sort of choices that you get at the end of each screen. And Depression Quest kind of isn't so much of a game in the sense that you play a game to have fun. Depression Quest is probably the most anti-fun you can get in the sense...
I mean, what do you expect with the name Depression Quest?
Yeah, and with a name like Quest, like you're built to expect like some kind of epic grand adventure, whereas it's just... In this sense, it's kind of... You go through it just to find out what depression is like. And there's somebody who's experienced it myself, and I've helped other people through it. It's very good at describing what it's like. And somebody who is depressed, they can't describe it to you. If you've ever wondered what it's like, if you want to know like how you can help people, you should play this game. It's very like it got to the point where I had to sort of stop playing it at one point. That's how much it was affecting me. So I think you should play it. It's free. It's at depressionquest.com. You can it says pay the developers, but you ended up they donate all the money they get to a depression awareness charity. I think everyone should play it. No exceptions. You know, it's very eye opening to what a game can be, and like, oh, maybe I shouldn't expect fun out of games because it's kind of an interesting thing to go through. And this is coming from somebody who usually doesn't play games for anything other than fun. So, yeah.
I'm kind of interested in it, but the Tumblr tells me I shouldn't play it if I actually have depression.
Do you have depression?
Yes.
I would say do it anyway, because you can help. And I have been playing System Shock 2 because... obviously, over the years, people have been saying, oh, System Shock 2 is this amazing game, you know, you should play it, but you can't get hold of it. And then they finally, after like 5 years of trying, they put it up on GOG. So I was like, yeah, I'll buy it, because it's only £6. And my God, do I not regret buying it, because it is... It lives up to everything that everybody has said about it.
It's really good, isn't it?
It's very, very good, and it's very, very creepy as well.
Oh, boy, you were going to have such a great time with it. I am playing it as well right now, but I am one of those people who bought it back in 99 on day one when it came out. Problem is, I just can't find my disc, and even if I could, I don't think it runs on Windows 7 or beyond, so I'm really glad I have a chance to play it right now. Although I have to say, few things don't hold up quite as well. I mean, the graphical stuff you can fix with a couple of mods. There is a great mod community out there. Some of the stuff, I don't know, Danny, how much you've played. I noticed, like, the respawning enemies, I don't know, not really that great. And I think the experience system, I would fix that as well, I think.
I'm waiting for the, I don't know if it's back up, but I was waiting for the mod site to go back up, because I know a lot of people here when it came out. So I'm going to install some mods, mainly graphical mods, because the game does look very dated.
There's one good mod that does some balancing fixes. So.
No, I might have to look for that as well.
Yeah. That one I can also recommend. But otherwise, I think, well, the combat feels a bit dated, but, I mean, otherwise I think it holds up incredibly well.
If anybody out there liked Bioshock, this is the game that effectively spawned Bioshock, and so you should play it.
Basically, when Bioshock came out, I was one of those guys who was like, yeah, what's the big fuss about? Because Bioshock is basically the watered-down version of System Shock 2.
But you can, like, it's immediately obvious when you play System Shock 2, like, where Bioshock was coming from. And System Shock 2 is not an easy game.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not easy at all. Even on easy, it's actually really hard. So
I started on normal again, and yeah.
Jesus, but it is all the hype, and, you know, is definitely worth it.
And yeah, I especially love, again, playing such a game with actual character creation, which was really fun. Like, having all these options, I don't know. If anyone out there else wants to try it, play first with the Navy. That's the easiest one. So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
No, there's been nothing else that I've played.
Martin, you said you've been saying some stuff as well.
Yeah, despite System... other than System Shock 2, I mean, I played some Ghost Recon Online, which is the free-to-play Ghost Recon that was also...
I forgot... When did that come out?
I don't know.
Ubisoft stuck it out.
It was in beta, like... November, December, I think, and now it's not anymore, so I think earlier this year?
I didn't hear anything about it.
I was just about to say, it was also supposed to come out on the Wii U, but right now that project is on ice as far as I understand. I don't know if they...
Sorry, what game was it?
Ghost Recon Online.
Oh, right. Free-to-play Ghost Recon, I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I mean, it's pretty fun, it's a cover-based shooter, on a tactical level it works really well. You have a couple of special abilities which, of course, deviate from the very old-school Ghost Recon stuff, but they have, like, long recharge times. For example, one class has, like, this shield that they can... start a shield for a very short duration, so you basically can push forward if the other team maybe has pinpointed you to a specific spot, which helps a lot. But on the other hand, this it has like a recharge time of like 2 minutes, which is quite a lot in a shooter. And the game doesn't have like these insane kill streaks or stuff like that in Call of Duty has, so it's still pretty tactical. Quite enjoyable. The business model also seems pretty good. I have basically no desire to put any money on it.
That's not a good business model.
Well, it's good for me. I mean, I'm right now on level 10. I'm very competitive with the stuff I have. I think they are handing out the in-game currency pretty generously. You don't have to put in money, except if you really want to move things faster along, but it's pretty fast enough, I think, at least right now. And even if I look at like what the highest level stuff is, that stuff is not that much better. For example, like right now I have a ballistic vest with 14% damage reduction. The best vest that's out there is which doesn't decrease my movement speed would be 16%. So it's just a 2% difference, and that's really not a lot.
So is the free to play stuff all your like weapon enhancements and stuff like that, or
you can basically buy new weapons, ballistic vests, grenades, and what other thing was it? And yeah, there are a couple of cosmetic things, but not a lot. And everything is still level based. So even if you put a lot of money into something, it doesn't mean you can use it right away. So it's not like you can jumpstart your whole gaming experience with Ghost Recon.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the other thing I've been playing is Ni No Kuni. I guess lots of people but have already heard about the game. I mean, it looks beautiful. It really is this Ghibli anime in motion thing. It's really cool. I love the localization. I mean, I have the pleasure of experiencing two localizations at the same time, I guess, because the voice acting I'm playing with is in English and I'm playing with the German text, and I think both are really good. Which is quite surprising, especially for...
How does that work? Because it's the English text. You know Mr. Drippy's got an accent.
Yeah.
In the English text, they actually sort of... Some words are actually spelled out and how he says it in the accent.
Yeah.
So does it work like that for German text?
Yeah.
How would it work?
He also has, like, a German accent in written form.
Oh,
He speaks very informal, he would say, and shortening words, stuff like that. So
hats off to whoever localized that.
Yeah, they put really some effort into doing this localization, I have to say. It shows. And so yeah, it's really good. So far, I've played, I think, 30 hours of it.
Wow.
And it's really one of the best JRPGs I've been playing for quite a while. I like the combat system. It's really not that grindy. I mean, unlike Xenoblade, it has kind of a slow start, but it's not as slow as Final Fantasy XIII.
I don't know if you can really top Final Fantasy XIII.
I don't know either, but like 2 hours in, it was already well on its way, which I think for JRPG is pretty good. The side quests are also pretty fun. I mean, not all of them. Some of them are more tedious than fun, but I really enjoy the monster hunts where you can like get jobs to hunt a specific monster, and then you can, and those are basically like little boss monsters that usually don't show up, and you have to find them on the world map. And yeah, story is, well, it's a cute little story about a boy trying to save his mother. I mean, it's not too involving, but it's just really, really charming and enjoyable. So, I really like this game.
Nice. And how long is this? About 100 hours?
No, it's not that long. I've heard, like, if you don't do all the side quests, or just a little bit of those, it's like 40. I mean, I have been looking at a guide, and I'm in the last third right now with first out. And I think I did a lot of side quests actually, so I'm probably on the faster side with my playing time.
Okay, very nice.
So 40 is probably a good estimate.
Okay. What about you, Jason? Have you been playing anything new and exciting?
Well, new for me. I don't know how exciting it would be, but kind of turned back the clock this week and have been playing through God of War 1.
Oh, jeez.
yeah, I previously had only played about the first hour or so of it, and I'm getting kind of close to the end now. But
does that mean you're in hell?
No, I'm on like Pandora's Temple still, but I'm in the last challenge.
Okay. I think Pandora's Temple is my favorite part of the whole game.
It's
not that I
you
think
know,
about.
The, when did this come out? 2004, I think, was the original release.
Something I don't remember.
2004, 2005, one of those two.
It holds up really well. Really, yeah. Really well. I mean,
are you playing the HD version? Or?
Yeah, I'm playing the HD version on PS3. And, I mean, obviously the graphics are, you know, we've come a ways since then. But, you know, it looks all right. It doesn't look bad. There are times when, there are a few moments where I'm like, man, the PS2 could do this. Like when Ares is stomping through Athens and stuff. I was like, oh, that's crazy. But, yeah. So obviously graphically it doesn't compare to like God of War 3, but as far as like the gameplay and the design, like it's just, everything is so, well, it like reminds me of Zelda almost a lot. Like, I feel like God of War 3 was more linear, it seemed like, and in God of War 1, it's a lot more, there's more, a lot of areas that are almost like dungeons, and there's a lot of puzzle gameplay. It's been a while since I played 3 also, but I don't remember there being like such an emphasis on puzzles, which I found really, I don't know, refreshing, I guess. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, I don't want to get too into it because people will get bored because it's a technical game, but...
I mean, it's a good game. I think Hell kind of breaks it for me.
Yeah, so I should be tapering my expectations in the next couple hours.
The thing, I never quite understood the hate for Hell. I wasn't as bothered by it like a lot of other people, apparently. I don't think it's the best part of the game. It clearly is the worst, but it never bothered me that much, to be honest.
I think for me it's the whole like when you have to walk like the planks and stuff like that.
Oh, I do not like those that much.
Yeah, and the game doesn't seem like it's really set up for that, so it just becomes more of a frustrating experience than fun, and then it just kind of becomes a chore near the end where it's just kind of like wave after wave of enemies. But I mean, overall, I do agree it's a good game. It's a it does hold up remarkably well. I played it for the first time like a year ago when I got the HD collection. Haven't started 2 yet, and I don't know when that's gonna happen. Because I love the gameplay. I hate the world.
Really?
I love the world they've created.
Yeah, I like the world a lot too. And I'm really impressed that
I hate Kratos.
Oh well, yeah, I don't really like Kratos that much as a character, and I find it
Kratos
funny.
Is not supposed to be liked. It's to be honest.
That's
people who like Kratos, I think those are questionable people.
And I think that's the problem. It's like he's set up to be the hero. Like it's not like he's set up as an evil person in the game. Like he does wrong stuff. It's just like to me, I don't connect. Like, you know, you can connect with somebody as an anti-hero. You can connect with somebody as a hero. Kratos doesn't come off as either one of those. He comes off as an ass. An angry ass. And it's just like, that just kind of bothers me. So I've never really gotten it. So that kind of takes me away from it. So if I could get God of War without Kratos in a, you know, different setting, I'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of agree with Kratos is kind of a, but, you know, even just the writing in general is kind of weird and the whole, like, narrative approach, like, you know, you'll be walking along through a dungeon or whatever, and then all of a sudden Kratos will just stop, and there's this huge cutscene about his ass as a Spartan general. And there's nothing that happened that, like, intrinsically triggers that from a narrative perspective. It's like, oh, well, the player's been playing for about 5 hours now. We should probably let him know why Kratos is so angry all of a sudden. So it's kind of, it's clumsy, but I mean, I don't, think that that's ever really been the strength. I've always, like in 3, the combat was obviously, I think, the forte, but I've mostly been really impressed by the puzzle design and level design and stuff, and like how much Sony put into this back in the day, because this was obviously the first game, you know, new IP, and they went like, it feels like they went just all out on it. Like they just bought into, you know, Jaffe or whoever's vision of what this game could be, and it's really well realized, I think. Now, I haven't been to the hell part yet that you hate so much, so we'll see how I feel. But
I mean, at the end of the day, the game holds up. It's a remarkable game. It's just like that part, I think, sours people on the overall experience.
Yeah, it probably doesn't help that it's the end of the game, right? So you go out kind of like Mass Effect 3.
it's also the same thing where for a game that's kind of heavy on combat and has like the if I remember correctly, the final boss sequence or the final like sequence is really just tedious.
The boss is all right.
Am I thinking of something else with the wife and kid?
Oh, right. But that's not the final boss.
Okay, but that part I found tedious as well.
Oh man, what was tedious was when you come out of the desert, and like one of my coworkers had been playing it, and he said he got stuck on the sirens in the desert. So when I got to the desert, you know, you have to find the sirens by following their voice and kill them, whatever. And I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. Like, I don't know what the big deal was. And I texted him, and I was like, hey, I passed the sirens. Why are you stuck? And then immediately afterwards, you get to the end, and it does, you know, the typical God of War thing where it locks you in an area. And, like, 20 of them just spawn, and it's the most ridiculous fight. Like, that's by far the hardest segment I've been in so far.
Okay, so I'm curious to see how it all shakes up for you when you finish it. And I think that's it for what we've been playing, because honestly, I don't play video games anymore. or if I do, I'm playing Temple Run 2, I'm playing Pushmo, I'm playing Halo 4. So it's a very diverse lineup of games and nothing I want to talk about on air. So there you go. Which leads us to a very, 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 very big week of news, apparently. We're going to save all of the Sony stuff until the end because there's a lot to talk about. So if we're saving Sony for the end, I think we should start with Nintendo, who held a Nintendo Direct this week because at this point they come out like every 5 minutes. I think it's a great feature. I love them to death. It's just that at this point they're just way too rapid. Even though if they start doing what they think they're doing, which is alternating between a Wii U one and a 3DS one every month, I think that works out because they do have two systems to talk about. So yeah, this one is kind of was more focused on the immediate future.
Yeah.
I guess what's going out between now and like the summer for Nintendo 3DS. And some Wii U stuff, which we can kick off with because I don't think anybody else got it but us, and I can see why, like, the Wii U stuff, and this goes into a lot of problems the Wii U's having, is, like, the Wii U's pretty barren as far as third-party support goes for the next couple of months. So they showed off The Walking Dead Survival Instincts. Need for Speed Most Wanted, which is the port of a 5-month-old game.
But the quote-unquote definitive version, according to Criterion.
I mean, I'm happy that they, you know, like, since it's the day that they are taking their time to come up with some new and interesting features for the Wii U version. And, you know, that's cool, but it's going to run into the same problem that other Wii U launch titles did, is that I can get the same game for, like, $20 on the current systems instead of paying $60 for it on the Wii U. They showed off Injustice Gods Among Us, which looks okay, it's nothing special, which is sad because I'm a huge DC fan. I don't know how they made Aquaman's costume worse.
You think? I like it.
I'm a huge fan of Hook Hand Aquaman.
I think you're the only fan of Aquaman. I think it's a lot better, personally.
It depends on the version of Aquaman. Hook Hand Aquaman's awesome. Barry Martin doesn't agree, and I love the I love the Aquaman from Brave and the Bold because they just take his cheesy over the top and embrace it and run with it, which is awesome. And I think that was it for the Wii U segment of this Nintendo Direct.
Well, in Europe, there was a bit more Wii U stuff. Different Wii U stuff. They basically announced a new bundle for Europe, which comes out in March, which is the Black Premium model together with the Pro Controller and Monster Hunter Trials.
I was going to say, did I miss this one? Did I watch a different one? I was watching a different one, because we never got any of this.
Which I think is a pretty cool bundle, and might actually do pretty well, especially in Germany. Because I learned recently that apparently here is a pretty big Monster Hunter community that I was not aware of.
Really?
Well, you should be happy since you can only play with them.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to remember what game that was that we were talking about.
That does remind me, though, because they announced a new bundle for the Wii U in the States as well, and Canada. And I actually want to get this one if I get a Wii U anytime soon. It's the premium bundle with Nintendo and digital copy, Zombie U, the Pro Controller, and it's $390. So it's $40 more, but you get about a $70 value.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Europe also got a Fire Emblem 3DS XL bundle, which I'm so jealous about. Because in the States, we only have the Fire Emblem bundle is a regular 3DS. Fuck that thing, it's way too small.
And I am super tempted to get that bundle.
I would buy it day one. Well, I would buy it fairly soon if it was in the States, but I'm only going to get an XL, so.
I was going to say, on the other side, we got that, I think it's a pretty good deal, is if you buy a 3DS XL between now and I think some early April, and a copy of Luigi's Mansion 2, or Pokemon. So basically, if you buy Luigi's Mansion 2, you get either, I think it's Super Mario 3D Land.
It's Super Mario 3D Land, Professor Layton Miracle Mask, Star Fox 64 3D, Art Academy, and Freaky Forms Deluxe. You have a choice of one of those games.
So basically, you buy 3DS XL, Luigi's Mansion, and you get Super Mario 3D Land for free. That's the only bundle I'm going to accept. If you buy anything, I'm going to disown people.
Games too.
Yes, one is a port of a N64 game that's like 15 years old.
And the other one was a nominee for our Game of the Year, wasn't it?
Yes, but I also nominated. I wholeheartedly say that Super Mario 3D Land is still the best game on that system, hands down.
Would agree.
And I don't. If you buy Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, we are not talking anymore.
Yeah, no, I was.
Although, I have not yet played Fire Emblem, but that might give my run for its money.
Oh, it might, but I mean, I haven't played it either. I'm actually, at this point, I'm just waiting for like a buy two, get one free sale, because I want to get Fire Emblem and I want to get Mario, New Super Mario Brothers 2. So I figured I'd just wait and get like a third game, or if it's within time, Luigi's Mansion 2. Speaking of Luigi.
Wait a second. There was another 3DS bundle, but that's also Europe. We are getting the Black 3DS XL with Monster Hunter for the 3DS as well as a bundle.
Nintendo Europe is so much more legit.
I think Nintendo Europe is just begging Europe to up them because nobody over there does.
Well, step it up, Reggie.
I was going to say, the theme of this Nintendo Direct was the year of Luigi, but there was one more Wii U announcement, which I think is very exciting, and I want to see what they do with it, is that Nintendo announced basically an expansion pack for New Super Mario Bros. U.
Yeah.
Called New Super Luigi U, which is a remix of all 80 levels. I don't even think it's a remix. They're all new levels. 80 levels. It's Luigi, oh, there's no Mario. I don't know. It seems like it has a different story. And it seems to be an expansion pack of the title, not a sequel or anything like that. So it's all DLC. And it's exciting in the fact that this seems to be like how you do DLC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it took Nintendo a while to do DLC, but how perfect is Mario as a franchise for DLC?
Especially when it comes to something like New Super Mario Brothers, because a lot of people are complaining about the fact that they're kind of, you know, going to that well once too often, you know, four games and however long. But this serves two purposes. One, at the end of the year, which I assume this is when it's going to come out, it gives new life to that title around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Because they can bundle it together as a New Super Mario Brothers U, New Super Luigi U game, but it also gives, you know, like when you pick up the system later on, because at this rate, nobody's picking up the system, it gives them a reason to revisit a launch title. if this is moderately priced, I mean, like, I would go up to, like, $30 with this because this is, like, a whole new game. It can do well.
I would expect it to be less, even, which would be great.
I mean,
I
could see it being less, but I would say up to $30, I think that would be moderately fair. If it's, like, 20, or, I mean, if it's 10, it's golden. But, yeah, it's a great way to kind of keep that game in the limelight without doing a sequel. Or, you know, and you can reuse assets and stuff like that. And this way, people won't complain about the fact that they already do that anyhow. The one thing I am concerned about is, and I guess it depends on who you, it doesn't seem to, like, since it's Luigi Oni, I guess the focus isn't on the multiplayer anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess they allow you to play these stages as Luigi, and then later on it opens up, and you can use it in the main game as well.
Or maybe you get 4 Luigi's or something like that. Who knows?
Well, they're already doing that with Luigi's Mansion 2. But yes, I guess we can talk about the rest of the stuff, which is mostly focused on the 3DS. And as Iwata and Reggie and Shibata, is that his name?
Shibata
announced. It was everybody apparently pronounces Luigi differently. But yes, we have Luigi's Mansion 2 Dark Moon, which apparently is only subtitled here for us. Coming out.
I don't even
out
think there's a 2 in for our title. I think it's just Dark Moon.
It's Dark Moon, which looks good. I'm always a fan of Luigi's Mansion. Luigi's Mansion was kind of before its time, because nowadays we're just accustomed to games being 4 or 5 hours. Back then it was just a really short launch title. But yeah, it looks good. They've added online multiplayer. There's like 4 modes. I think most of them are all co-op right now.
It seems like all of them are co-op, which I think is kind of cool. That's exciting.
Yeah,
also
and
online.
Nintendo probably has some type of cooperative. I mean, there is a competitive element to it because you get scored at the end of the level. So it has that built-in, like, yeah, we work together, but I still want to do better than you aspect. So yeah, that's out next month.
I think it looks really good for the 3DS, graphically, I mean, and also really funny.
I think Luigi's an amazing. They do a lot more with everybody around Mario than Mario. Yeah,
that's true.
Because like, everybody has been able to develop a personality over time, and Mario has a personality, but he's just like the happy-go-lucky person. Where Luigi has kind of developed into like this scaredy cat, coward, and you know Peach has kind of developed as well. But yeah, they also announced, and I'm sure some people will be excited about this, Mario Golf 3DS.
Oh, yes. I'm going to buy that. And I'm not even being sarcastic either.
I was
I'm actually also excited. I really like the Mario Golf
game.
Mario Golf is a really good game. Probably the best golf game out there, sadly.
I prefer Mario Tennis, but we got that last year, and that wasn't that great.
Sorry.
And the game I am so excited about, Mario & Luigi 4, Mario & Luigi Dream Team. I've probably mentioned this on the show before, Mario & Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story is one of my favorite games of all time, one of my favorite games of this past generation, whatever you want to call it.
I have to say I love the gimmick in this one.
Well, I have the gimmicks in most of them, except for Partners in Time. But Partners in Time had an interesting gimmick. It was just executed poorly.
Yeah, that's true. But this gimmick is just too funny.
Yeah, so for this gimmick, and I don't know if they planned this ahead of time because it works with the theme of the area Luigi, or if it just happens, but the gimmick here is that you go into Luigi's dreams, and you can control certain aspects of his dreams, puzzle solving, by interacting with Luigi while he's sleeping. And being that Luigi's asleep and it's his dreams, he also becomes more powerful because, again, it's a dream state.
Yeah.
And they're just going all out with Luigi.
I especially love the bit in the video where, like, in his dream, there's, like, this Luigi figure in the background and something was in the way of Mario, if I remember correctly. And then he tickled his nose, so he made Luigi... That Luigi face in the dream sneeze, so stuff got out of the way. I just think it's really funny and cool.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that people have taken that, and I mean, it's the internet, so it's not surprising. They kind of morphed that little gif of him, like he's in some sexy time gif of Luigi. But yeah, this game, and what's remarkable, I mean, some people are kind of, you know, some people are against it, some people, is the style actually carries over pretty well. Like, it's not the hand-drawn 2D sprites, but the 3D models have really kind of, it still kind of fits the aesthetics of the previous three games.
I agree. I thought it looked very similar.
Yeah, and unlike Paper Mario, this still remains as retains its RPG, I imagine.
So everyone is picking on Mario, Paper Mario for 3DS.
I like Paper Mario 3DS. I just, you know, like, I think, and this is always kind of a funny discussion, because you always hear people on the internet, fans of franchises, this game doesn't change enough, this game doesn't change enough, this game doesn't change enough. You changed too much. What was wrong with you? Why did you take this out? Why did you remove that? And it's kind of one of those dichotomies. For what it is, I think Paper Mario Sticker Star works well. It's more of a puzzle adventure platformer than it is an RPG, and it works that way.
Mm.
It's also currently $20 on Best Buy and Amazon if you want to pick it up. So there's our truck for that. I think that was it for the year, Luigi.
Yeah.
They also announced Donkey Kong Country 3D, which is a port
of... You mean
of,
Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D?
Oh, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, which is a port of the Wii title from 2010. In 3D, and I'm sure it's going to be the superior version for some people because you don't have to use row with the motions anymore.
I have already seen lots of comments of people saying, yay, no motion controls.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the game. I think it's a fantastic platform. It's the best Donkey Kong game, in my opinion. I do kind of agree with that. I think that's where they took the motion controls too far in a platformer. Like, some of it was cool, like using it to beat up bosses and stuff like that. But like using it to roll and throw, which really served no purpose most of the time, it was the rolling that really pissed me off, because that's something that you needed precision for.
Mm.
Like, sometimes I would roll when I meant to jump or something, and the character would just roll off the stage, and yeah. So yeah, it would be nice. I mean, I'm probably not going to pick up a port of a game I played just 3 years ago, but it's there for people who want it.
Yep.
And I think that's it for retail titles.
No, we saw some more of Castlevania Lords of Shadows Mirror of Fate. I think that's the whole title, right?
I think there's a 2 in there somewhere. but yeah, and this is one of those games where, one, I think third parties were just stupid, where the guy's like, oh yeah, would you like to make an HD version of this? Because now everybody's just going to wait for the HD version of it.
I think it looks interesting. I mean, the whole idea of playing different Belmonts, being 2D, but also combo-based, I think it's interesting. But I have to say, if the frame rate from the trailer is the frame rate of the game, then that's not very good.
Speaking of, is the Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 still coming out in March?
I don't think we have heard anything about this game for a while, so I don't...
That's why I'm asking, because I haven't heard, like, this was, I thought this was originally delayed so that it would coincide with the release of that when it was pushed back, but then I haven't heard anything about it since, I haven't heard anything about it since last year. So I don't know if it's getting a makeover or what.
Let me check. Castlevania Lords of Shadow, I can't even find it on Amazon.
whatever.
I personally doubt that it's coming out in March. We have not heard anything at all
it
lately.
It doesn't stop people from releasing games randomly. They also showed off, I think there's a bunch of, like, I don't know, niche Japanese games coming out, whatever. So yeah, there's that. And then they did the eShop stuff, which is... One, I don't know what Europe is getting, but I know we get an eShop sale. I think this week it was a push mode, crash mode.
We had a sale we had a digital sale on Ocarina of Time 3D.
Yeah, pretty lame, and also not that cheap, to be honest.
No,
I bought the game retail for €20, and they are selling the digital version for 30.
Yeah, and I think we also have I want to say if Bitrit Saga is also on sale, so I don't know. I don't check out the eShop enough.
Yeah.
Harmo Knight, which I'm really excited for, comes out in March, which is the game from the Pokemon company Game Freak, and it's a rhythm-based platform, which is awesome. We get, and I'm very awful and immature about this, a game called Kaspoosh. Which is, I mean, it's a song that, never mind, but it's a eShop title that I believe comes out March 7th, and it's a game where you navigate certain objects down a well, do various obstacles. It looks like a perfect digital title for that system.
I thought it looked pretty fun.
It looks fun. It looks fun. It's just the name I can't get over.
But Earl, you, I think you, I don't know if it's a Europe thing when it comes to retail titles, but we had three more announcements.
What else did you have?
Because I think they were already done for America, but I'm not sure. We're getting Etrian Odyssey 4, which I think is already out in the US. I'm not sure.
I think it just came out, or it's...
Okay,
yeah, I didn't.
So we're getting that. They had, like, an announcement for Animal Crossing New Leaf, that it's coming in the summer.
Oh, it's June for us.
Yeah, sadly not more detailed than that, just summer. They're blaming the localization. And the third one was... No, I've forgotten.
Is it Echo City?
No, it's not Lego City. I don't think Lego City was even in that thing. The first one was... Ah, right, Project Cross Zone, which we are also getting.
Oh, we didn't get that.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. But yeah, we have Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins, which is the 3DS prequel to the Wii title that's out next month, and the 3DS one is out in April, which is backwards, but I guess that's why it's a prequel. and it looks like a scaled-down version of the Wii game. There's a different story. It's an origin of Chase and his first case or whatever. Same city, but it has a much smaller draw distance out of fog and stuff like that. So, yeah. There were some other eShop titles, I'm sure. Oh, they announced Dillion's Rolling Western 2 because the world really wanted that. I can't really complain because I fell in love with the Squid Assassin just because I don't get it.
I thought this Rolling... What's the name again?
Rolling Western. Dillion.
Yeah, whatever. I thought it was kind of alright, but the concept wasn't, well, what else should I say, not deep enough for the length of the game it was.
See, the game looks alright, it seems like it's broken. Like, from what I understand, on paper, the concept of an action-based tower defense game sounds awesome, but it seems like it's more action than tower defense, like the towers don't really do much.
Yeah, I've only seen videos, so I can't...
Yeah, because it looks like out of the big ones, you actually have to go and engage in battles, and the battles are kind of timed. So even if... And it's not if you do part of it, like you deal a lot of damage, and then the towers can take them out. It seems like you have to finish them off, or the towers won't. So it's really odd, but maybe they'll fix it for the sequel.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the concept seems cool, the execution...
Yeah, yeah. We shall see. Was there anything else that I'm missing?
I can't think of anything right now. No.
Okay. I'm just going to throw these two in there since it's Nintendo related. Crap, and now I forget what they are. So yeah, I guess they weren't that important. Oh, they announced we mentioned that. Oh. Somebody had to skip out. I was going to say Pokemon Rumble was announced for the Wii U eShop.
Oh, right. I've seen pictures of it. It seems even more scaled down of a game than the Pokemon Rumble games are anyway.
Well, if it's online, it's okay. I think it's the right game if it comes out soon because it's a big brand. It sells well. Like the Pokemon Rumble or Scramble, whatever it's called, on the 3DS sells like 2 or 3 million. So if you kind of do that and you advertise it, I think it gets a lot of eyes to the eShop. And I think that's important early on so that you establish that there are games that you can get here as well.
One other news thing that happened, that actually already happened. I don't think it's out in the US. Tank is free to play in Europe.
That was the other thing we had to talk about, yes. And I think that's the perfect motto for that game.
Yeah, I downloaded it, and I can see why people would say, like, single player is totally uninteresting, I would say, from what I've seen. So, basically, getting the whole game is actually more expensive, I think, than just getting the retail disc. But if you maybe just in for some of the multiplayer stuff, you can basically have that for pretty cheap. And I think the I'm not sure what the mode is called, the one where one player basically plays King Kong and the other ones are tanks and trying to take him down.
I think it's Kong mode.
Yeah, whatever. It's pretty fun. So
I said this when I played the game at Comic-Con, is that I think it's a game that would have benefited from online because it's goofy, arcade fun. And I think charging $60 for it was a completely insane idea.
Yeah.
But this free-to-play model, make a patch for online, and it's a really great pick-up-and-play game, especially with, like, that stuff where you get the goofiness, where, like, you get to superimpose your face onto the top of the tanks or whatever with the camera. So it's one of those titles, again, where it's nice to see, even though it's a bit late, that they're adapting to a proper business model for the game.
I bought the Kong mode because that was on sale for €2, and everyone was saying that that's also the best mode, so I bought that, and now I can play all the other modes except single player as much as I like. The only restriction is that you only get one map.
Oh, okay.
So it's not too bad.
Because if I'm not mistaken, the free-to-play model is that you get every mode in that game, but you can only play 3 rounds per day.
Yeah. And as soon as you buy anything, you can play as many rounds as you want. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a fair model, and, you know, you get to pick which, like, it's a kind of like a demo evolved into a full game.
Yeah. You can basically pick the parts that you enjoy and have them for pretty cheap.
Yeah, so hopefully this comes to the States, and hopefully they add online to the game.
Yeah, that would be great. Online would make this so much better.
Yeah. It's the same it wasn't on to begin with, and for once, I don't think this is on Nintendo and their setup, so... Yeah, there you go. I think that's everything related to Nintendo systems this week, which means that we get a lot of leaks to talk about, and we'll kick it off with we'll kick it off with the shortest one, which is Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a leak. We've already seen the game in motion.
Yeah.
But it came out that it's pretty much coming to every system under the sun this holiday season.
Which even that was already kind of assumed.
That was assumed as well, but it's nice to get confirmation for it as well. It's going to be interesting because it seems like the type of game that can benefit from the Wii U's gamepad with the map on the controller and stuff like that.
And Ubisoft will demonstrate that they can use it properly.
Yeah.
In some cases, better than Nintendo. At the same time, it's like it's going to be a next-gen title, so you get those really enhanced graphics. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, it pretty much sucks for the PS3 and 360 versions, but... It will be interesting,
especially since the Wii U is actually, well, if you handle it well enough, can be more powerful than the other two. So it will be interesting if we will, I mean, Ubisoft probably has some of the most experience, I guess, with the Wii U, if they can actually do something with the title on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be fun to see. I mean, I assume they're going to re-reveal it at E3 or whatever. And Ubisoft is usually pretty good at launches, so I expect this to be a near launch, if not launch title for the Orbis and the Durango.
Most likely.
Yeah. And this isn't a leak, but I skipped over it real quick, but I really think this has to be talked about, is the Aliens Colonial Marines Gearbox, Sega, time situation.
Nerf, you forgot Nerf software.
And Demiurge.
And Demiurge, yeah.
So who wants to try to give a brief recap of this situation?
So we were led to believe that Gearbox was the one and only developer for the game, and it turns out that they weren't, and... People were like, oh, so what part of the game did this company make? What did that company make? And it turned, apparently Gearbox only did the multiplayer, and apparently
Timegate only did the single player, and apparently Nerve was to do with multiplayer maps, and apparently Demiurge is Wii U port.
They've kind of refuted part of that, though.
The thing is, though, it's not clear. So, yeah, Randy Pitchford was really unclear, and he said something like, Timegate did about as much as Gearbox, and Nerve did some maps, and, you know, Demiurge have just admitted that they're doing the Wii U port. But it's like, okay, so why is this game bad? Like, because Gearbox have clearly demonstrated that they can make games that are not bad. In fact, quite the opposite, you know? It's just, like, why is it as bad as it is? You know, somebody, they must have split it up in an even way, like people assumed, instead of, oh, we did a bit of this and they did a bit of that.
And don't forget, the thing is, nobody would care if the game would be great.
Was good.
I mean, this game turned out to be utter crap. Has been basically announced like 6 years ago under the Gearbox banner. I mean, there has been the Colonial Marines before that, but that was for the PS2. The other thing is, if it wasn't for the 2011 E3 demo, which this game does look nothing like. I mean, there are elements of that demo in the new game. You can see some architecture from there, but levels has totally changed. There's a completely different lighting system. There are completely different Marines with you in
it. The thing is, though,
the aliens don't move the way they did in the demo.
If the lighting systems and stuff were the same, like, oh, maybe, if it was, say, like that on PC, if you cranked it to the max, then fine.
But it's not.
It's just like, how does this happen, you know?
Oh, don't, I wasn't even finished. The AI even changed. I mean, they had, like, aliens, like, really, like, really using the environment and stuff. And this finished. Let's call it finished game. Not so much.
That was like my favorite gif where like, the aliens just like walking.
Yeah. Ah, jeez.
But I think Jason kind of tried to bring this up, and it seems like part of the problem with this is like they made Sega believe that they were actually working on this game and not outsourcing most of its development while they finished up Borderlands 2. And I think that's where a lot of the interest for this story comes from, because a lot of people are saying, like, how much of this was kind of them just trying to use the money Sega was giving them to fund Borderlands 2 development while half-assing this game, and realizing when the contract's up that they have to ship something.
I think the problem is Randy Pitchford, and you can say that I'm biased because I hate Randy Pitchford, but I hate Randy Pitchford because he's a bit of an idiot, right?
Don't call him an idiot, I mean.
He likes the sound of his own voice, and it's fairly evident. If you read any interview with him or watch any video that he's in or listen to his voice, you can tell he likes to hear what he has to say, and he likes it even more if other people listen to what he has to say. And I reckon he thinks that his company can be the next Valve, when obviously that's not the case, you know. Valve was in the fortunate position of having started up with a lot of money, and they don't need money from anybody else to make any games. And that means that they don't have schedules to meet, you know, they can just do whatever they want, quite literally. And Gearbox isn't that kind of company, and they're not even that big. And I think Randy Pitchford is mismanaging Gearbox big time. There was a post on Reddit about how Sega would allowing Gearbox to delay the game because Gearbox had Borderlands, and then they had Duke Nukem Forever, and then Borderlands 2 came along. And, you know, eventually Sega's like, where the hell's our game, you know? And they apparently, according to this guy, he was anonymous, so we don't know if this is true or not. Apparently Sega sued, which is why, well, they threatened to sue anyway, which is why they were like, okay, we'll do something. And they ended up outsourcing it and rushing it.
Okay, you see, I would say, but part of that has to fall on Sega. Because, like, if I ask somebody to do something and I'm paying you, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. Oh, somebody else is asking me to do something. Like, I paid you to do something. You shouldn't be taking up these other projects when you haven't finished what you've done.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
But there comes in the whole thing about the demo we saw at E3 and how much smoke and mirrors was going on with Gearbox. I mean, maybe that demo we saw was also the demo they showed Sega. And I mean, yeah, that demo said at the end, at the beginning, all you're seeing is 100% in-game footage.
They didn't say it was that game, though.
And I think what needs to happen is Randy Pitchford needs to sit down and realize that his company is not Valve and will probably never be Valve. I mean, Gearbox, Randy Pitchford even lied about, because Joystick asked Randy Pitchford where the name Gearbox came from, and he even lied about that. And he made up some story to do with Gabe Newell, and they had a poker game over the name Valve, and he ended up winning. It ended up being good for them anyway, good for Gearbox anyway. And, you know, it's like, why would you lie about something like that? Because they asked one of Valve's PR guys, and they're like, no, that's not true. So, you know, it just amazes me, like, how, and the funny thing was this, like, when Duke Nukem Forever came out and that game turned out to be a stinker, is Randy Pitchford couldn't wait to defend that game, but he was eerily quiet for a couple of days after Colonial Marines came out. And then his only comment was, oh, generally we've profited from criticism, which is the vaguest thing ever.
Like, I mean, it's kind of like me in bad movies. Like, at some point, something becomes so, like, it has a reputation. Like, is it really this bad that you want to try it? I think you and I think Chad have also bought Duke Nukem Forever to see how bad it was. And I think there's that curiosity factor that if you can be really good or you can be really bad to the point that people have to see how bad you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a very interesting story that's still developing and changing and evolving. The next two things aren't really stuff we're going to talk about. I just wanted to mention them in passing real quickly. First is the Destiny leaks. We really don't want to talk about it.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, but we don't want to talk about it because we're recording on Saturday and the reveal's literally on Sunday. So
I'm just disappointed there's no PC.
Well, we don't. I mean, it could
happen.
That's
not surprising. Yeah, I don't think so.
But, yeah, it does seem like it's a multi-platform title, which, you know, granted, the only thing we heard about this beforehand came from a leaked document from, like, 2010 when when they signed the contract with Activision, that it was supposed to be an Xbox exclusive, but the time window for that had passed anyhow, so
I don't want
it does
to
seem... So, yeah, and it looks different, but we'll be back next week with actual details on that, so it's, there's no real point in talking about that. The other thing...
The only thing I want to say is it's interesting that they're revealing it now when presumably it would be on the Durango, but that's not announced yet. Are they going to do the Watch Dogs thing where they show footage that doesn't look like it can run on a 360? I don't know. I mean, that's all speculation, but...
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and because we've seen, I mean, we've had a jam pack for a few weeks here. I think a lot of people are just trying to get out ahead of Sony, because from all talks, it does seem like the PS4, the Orbis, is a more powerful system than the Durango. So maybe they realize that they need to get out of here, especially if they're not going to hit that launch window for Sony. Because in the next week or two, everything's going to be swallowed up by what Sony's doing, the games they revealed and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and it's like, if you're announcing things for PS3, it's like, yawn, haven't you caught up yet?
Yeah, so we shall see. I think the other thing we want to talk about, and the reason we're not going to touch on this much, is because honestly, there's no ramification. There's any ramifications, but we don't know enough to actually form any coherent theory about it. But Valve let go of like 25 people this past week.
I think it's simply a matter of we don't need you guys anymore. We've got other plans because Valve will never be in trouble. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's the point. It's like we don't have enough information.
And Valve
to...
won't tell us. Gabe's already said he's telling you. So
it's just like, you know, like other companies, we can understand it's like they released the product and didn't do well, but Valve's a financially secure company, and, you know, like you can come up with theories, but there's really no basis for it at all. So there's that.
It might actually be as simple as redundancies. So
yeah, it could just be that we had too many people. You can get too big.
Gabe did say it's not affecting any of their projects.
So that's all they're going to say on that, and they have every right to. It's one of the great things about being a private company.
Yeah.
To the people who lost their jobs, I've read a couple of times already, if you have Valve on your CV, it's pretty safe to get another job.
I'm assuming they probably all have jobs already. And that will take us through everything this week, I believe, which leaves us with one thing, one company, one system, one reveal, one event. Wednesday night, February 20th, is when we see the future of gaming, when you jump out, when you realize that yoga isn't a gaming device or whatever. Sony is set to announce something on Wednesday that we have no idea what it could be, none whatsoever.
they're just happening to release some retrospective
videos.
It's
the PlayStation Vitality Sensor.
History.
Yeah, and no way has everybody's fault with Sony's going to reveal on that day. And I don't know why they don't just come out and say it at this point, but yeah, Sony's set to reveal the PlayStation 4, the Orbis, whatever you want to call it, this Wednesday. And it wouldn't be a Sony press conference, it wouldn't be a Sony event without some things leaking out, or in this case, throwing out Edgar River. And I guess the thing we'll start off with is the controller, which we got to see a prototype of this week. Mm. And it looks like a DualShock that kind of... It looks like a DualShock that put on some weight.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
It has a touchpad. I believe it's not a screen. Or is it like an LED screen?
All the articles are referring to it as a pad.
Yeah.
I've seen mock-ups of people like putting lights on it, so I didn't know if it actually did stuff like that. Like, if it actually lights up. Because, I mean, I could see this as kind of like the evolution of the Dreamcast VMUs, or, you know, like a miniature version of the Wii U's gamepad, so.
Yeah.
Other than that, it looks like the DualShock.
There is a mic in it.
Oh, there's a mic. I heard people...
I would think it's probably a mic.
Well, I had this debate too with somebody. The only thing is, usually a mic is one slot.
A small dot.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's kind of designed like a speaker.
Huh. And they have the blue-colored LED thing at the top. Which is up like the ball on the Move controllers.
I assume it's probably that. I also probably assume it's probably like a controller indicator.
Yeah, it could be both, yeah. I mean, the Move did it as well. One player was blue, the other was red.
Yeah.
It could have all kinds of colors.
Yeah, and probably battery life and all that other stuff.
Mm.
I mean, some of the details that came out, I mean, again, you know, like we've had, there's an actual picture of this prototype controller, so that much we can surmise for ourselves. Some of this stuff afterwards is kind of like people trying to jump on and saying, like, also says this. Because, like, some of the stuff didn't make sense to me. Like, they were saying, like, the touchpad wouldn't be used for applications. Or would it, like, you couldn't, like, which would make no sense because
if it's there, you might as well use it.
Yeah, like, ideally, I want to use it, like, to browse the internet, to, you know, go through the XMB or whatever.
Personally, at this point, I don't quite understand the touchpad on the top.
I don't understand the touchpad.
A touchscreen on that place, I would understand more, like the mock-up some people made.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see it. We'll see on Wednesday when they actually reveal games around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, I don't see the benefit of it. One of the reasons the touchscreen works, and touchscreens in general work, is because you have a visual feedback. You have a visual feedback on the DS, the 3DS, on your cell phone, on your tablet, on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Here, it's just going to be, you know, it's awkward because like you'd have to mess around with it and then try to line up with what's going on the screen. And it doesn't seem like it's a big surface area to begin with.
Yeah. We will see.
I have a feeling it would just be used for swipe-type gestures. Not so much pinpointing, like, a finite control.
Yeah, and to me, that just seems so half-assed.
Yeah. But like we said, we will see. We shouldn't judge too early.
like I said, if they come up with some interesting titles that use it some careful ways, it's fine. If they use it like the Vita's, where like you're dusting off objects in Uncharted, it's like,
that's
not
true.
A big deal.
That's true.
The other thing that came out, and this, you know, would fall on the rules.
Also mention. Oh, no, wait. You said it looks like the DualShock, so no. Massive design change when it comes to button layout or
There was another photo leak that appeared to look like the handles had been elongated.
Good.
Which
I think
I hope that's true because if the DualShock feels cramped to me, it's always felt cramped.
I think some of that can also just be the angle.
Yeah, like you said earlier, these are prototypes.
And we did not see the triggers, so those.
I thought we did see the triggers.
No.
No.
Isn't there a picture of the back of the controller?
No.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of the back of the controller. It has.
I have not seen the L2 and R2 triggers.
Oh, it looks like it's the same thing, but at least unlike the PS3, it has housing this time, which is one of my biggest issues. Because sometimes you put down the controller, and this happens in Uncharted to me. I'd put down the controller to do something, and I end up throwing a grenade or something.
That only happens to you.
No, I did it actually yesterday. I set down my controller while playing God of War, and I activated magic, and I was like, God damn.
Jesus Christ, people. Don't you have the start button to pause the game?
No, but sometimes you can, like, if you're online. Like, granted, yes, you shouldn't probably be taking breaks while you're online, but you know, sometimes stuff comes up. They're like, okay, like, I just spawn. I'm like, okay, I'll stay in this room and I'll just go out real quick and run back in. And it's like, threw a grenade at my feet. I'm like, why? And it happens if you do it with movies as well. Like, sometimes you'll put the controller down to, like, you know, like, oh, the movie started and just reacts. And it's like, oh, here's fast forward just for you. I'm like, no. But yeah, the other thing is it also seems like it has an improved D-pad. And I'm not really sure which way I lean with the analog sticks.
They look really awkward to sort of manhandle. I'd rather they. I mean, I'm not a fan of the DualShock analog sticks as it is, but I'd rather the old ones than the new ones.
I think they look alright.
I think some people were saying that, you know, like, it's trying to get the best of both worlds with the concave up and then having like the grooves for your hands to fit in.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on how comfortable it ends up being. Right now, it just looks really funny. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I'm curious to see what the, you know, like, what's everything underneath the hood and how they use it in games and stuff like that. That will be cool. Speaking of games, rumor is that The Last Guardian has been moved to a PlayStation 4 title.
Doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, I think
we discussed that on this very podcast, in fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen it in, like, 2 years. And the developer came out this week, like, oh, don't worry, you'll hear about it soon. So, I mean, Sony has just kind of been waving their flag without saying anything, but they said that, I think Evolution, who's the people behind, I think, MotorStorm?
Yeah.
That they have a new game on the 20th. So everybody's like, oh yeah, they're going to do something on the 20th, but nobody wants to say what.
And lots of rumors have been around that they're actually doing a new Wipeout.
Doing a new Wipeout.
Yeah, because the old Wipeout studio has been closed down and lots of people moved over because they were right next to them or something like that.
Yeah, so there's that. What else?
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal yesterday. Last night, actually, we got word that the PS4 would stream PS3 games using an online cloud service. And I guess that would be the system's form of backwards compatibility.
Yeah, because real backwards compatibility, because of the architectural change the PS4 will bring, is pretty much impossible.
Yeah, and it's a solution to a problem that they have. It's not a great solution. It's better than nothing, almost. I mean, it's literally the same discussion we had last week when we were talking about the rumors that the Durango would have an always-on connection, and that your connection always has to be on. The other people's connection always has to be on, and it has to be perfect on both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we, I mean, cloud gaming in general, just until we all have, like, Google Fiber or we all move to Kansas City or something, like, it's not going to be, I don't see it as being viable.
Yeah, it's one of those things that just seems like it's great on paper and it's future proofing, but backwards compatibility to me is something that's more of an immediate impact. It's not something like you want 7 years into the future.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Right. It's just more of when you want to be able to like sell your old system to help finance the new one, but keep all your old games.
And to be honest, I don't think backwards compatibility, unless you really want to play old games, will be a big issue this fall. I would assume that we will see a lot of the big fall titles also on the PS4.
Yeah. See that, and I think that's the other problem. Like, I mean, it goes hand in hand with what Jason said, in that you like a lot of people sell their old consoles to pay for their new consoles. But if you have to keep your PS3, are you going to buy a PS4 because you can't pay Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty or whatever on it?
Now, just to play devil's advocate a bit, they don't really want you to sell your old one in order to buy the new one. Cause
why
that's,
not?
That's less of the profitable old consoles that they could be selling.
Yeah, but I mean, ideally you want to kind of get that user base up and you want to get them buying software, because I imagine why you probably start making money on the hardware of the older systems, that your profits are coming from the software of the newer systems, and you kind of want that to start turning.
On the other hand, Jason, the people who are buying the PS4 on launch date are not the people who are going to buy PS3 games for much longer.
That's true.
That is a fair point. Well, at the grand scheme of things, you want a lot of people who want to kind of jump in on this, or jump out, which is an odd expression. I mean, I know it's a play on the Microsoft slogan, but jump out doesn't inspire anything in me for your system.
Well, at least, like, jump in is, like, you're involved in the game completely, like...
Yeah, like, jump out just sounds backwards. Yeah.
Sounds like a bad 3D tagline.
And, you know, there are other issues with it, because let's face facts, Sony hasn't had the most stable online network this entire generation.
Yep.
PSN goes down maybe once every 2 weeks for maintenance. There was that minor incident where they were hacked for 2 months. It's not the company I would want streaming from, but they did purchase a company that does it, so who knows?
Yeah. I don't know, have we even seen the Gaikai technology in action at any point?
Yeah. I have used it once.
Okay.
And because EA, they sort of were best buds with EA for a bit, and EA were like, hey, you can play the Mass Effect 2 demo on the Origin website. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And it was okay. I mean, I had a better experience with it that one time than I ever had with OnLive. So,
okay. And who knows? Maybe they improve their technology further and stuff.
Okay, I guess here's the other thing. Is it cost efficient?
Well, it's expensive to run. It would be expensive to service to run for Sony.
Like, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, if you don't build enough servers, then you end up with the problem where a lot of people won't get it. It's so. If you build too many and people don't use it, then you have a bunch of servers that you're paying for that nothing's being used for.
Let me tell you this. It would be a pretty good PlayStation Plus incentive.
So you think they're going to charge for it?
Yeah. PlayStation Plus will be include Gaikai.
Unless they limit it, and then you get that limit sort of is removed if you subscribe to PS Plus.
That would be pretty clever for Sony too. It would make PlayStation Plus more worthwhile for people who actually want backwards compatibility. They would probably get people to buy PlayStation Plus for it, but they would not have to put online gaming behind a paywall like Microsoft does.
Interesting. I mean, and that's a fair point. It just seems odd to hold backwards compatibility hostage.
I would rather have them hold that hostage than
online gaming or Netflix or Twitter or Facebook or Internet Explorer.
Exactly.
What else? Was there anything else that came out this week about this system?
I don't think any leaks, so we should probably talk about what do we expect to see on the 21st, is it right? No,
the 20th, right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be 21st for these guys.
Smart, yeah.
On the other side of the Atlantic.
Well, I'm just going to say what I don't expect to see, and that is a final hardware design.
Yep.
Really?
A release date and a price.
Yep.
I agree with you on release date and price. I would think that what's the point of showing it if we don't have at least a near final design?
Oh, no, we're going to see a design, but I said we won't see the final design. Like, they'll say it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some tweaks, but I mean, something representative of the final design.
We saw
the 3
wasn't final as well.
Right, but it looked almost the same. And same with the Vita,
and
it was NGP.
There'll be tech demos everywhere.
Super
Rubber Duck 3?
Yeah.
Like, I expect them to have tech demos. I really don't want them to. Like, tech demos make sense when you're out, like a year and a half out. But if the system's out in this kind of year, I want to see games.
Yeah, and I think they will show games.
All right, Enemy Crabs?
I think we'll see both. I think we'll see, like, oh, this is what the PS4 is going to be capable of once people get familiar with the system. But here's actual games running on it.
On
right
the
now.
Other hand, I kind of want a new duck demo, just because.
Just for principle. I think we'll see a CG Killzone target video.
We'll probably see another Final Fantasy VII dance sequence.
I actually think we will see Killzone 4.
I think, I mean,
not
it seems
the target
to be,
render, we will see Killzone 4.
It seems to be, I think we'll see Killzone 4, I think we'll see Uncharted 4.
I don't think we will see Uncharted 4 because Last of Us is not even out.
Yeah, but I mean, we might not see Uncharted 4, but I would be surprised if Nathan Drake wasn't at that show in some capacity.
They might drop it. I don't think we'll see it.
Yeah,
I think I'd be
surprised also to see it.
The other thing I'm pretty sure we will see is Gran Turismo 6.
I think we'll see, like, a sizzle reel, but...
Well, not live gameplay, but,
right.
Like, when the PS3 was announced, this is our Gran Turismo vision. This kind of...
Yeah, I agree. I think
that's how it will look.
Okay, and then we'll have it at the next 5 E3s before it comes out.
Yeah. You beat me.
I really, really hope that's not the case, because they built the car models, the premium models, for next gen already, so...
Yeah, but you know, everybody does that, and then you get the next gen, and then you have to rebuild it again.
I hope
and
not.
We'll get a 3-4
we'll
seconds in that time.
I have to say, we'll get a Gran Turismo 6 prototype.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think they will take this long this time. I don't want to wait this long this time, and I really think Sony don't want to wait this long this time.
I don't think Sony wanted to wait this long the first time. I just
think
but, that...
But they're probably not very happy with how that whole ordeal worked out, and
well, still... they're happy with how much it ended up selling, so...
Yeah,
I
mean,
at the end of the day, I think Polyphony has the leeway to do it whatever they want.
They could have maybe sold twice as many copies if they had 2 Gran Turismos out during the PS3 life cycle.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing is, do you expect that we'll see a Metal Gear game? Because I assume Ground Zeroes is probably a near launch title.
Yeah, I could see Ground Zeroes again. Maybe a new video.
Yeah, or the Phantom Pain, you know, that other game from
Kojima. Whatever name it Kojima thinks it should show up.
I think there will be somebody there that was previously associated with Microsoft this generation to show something, be it like Epic or, you know, a studio like that.
Epic seems to be going in a different direction right now.
At least going for PC in a minute.
But I could see that, like, some. But who would that be?
Bungie.
I would throw them in there too, but they're kind of doing their own thing with Destiny now, so I don't know.
I was just about to say, they're going to unveil Destiny. And from the leak we know, Destiny PS3 360. But what if at the Sony event, Bungie shows up and says, hey, we have a PS4 version as well?
Yeah, that...
Well, here's something that's cool that we did on PS4.
Yeah.
I could see that if they get that. I was going to say the other thing is probably the Respawn guys, but I don't know if they have anything ready to show.
That's also EA, right? EA is pretty good with Sony, so I don't know. Might be too early.
It might. Well, I mean, and the other thing is, I mean, while we get, you know, like we get this announcement and stuff like that, they still have to save stuff for E3 as well.
Yeah. Especially for parties.
Yeah.
I actually don't think we'll see
too many games.
Real gameplay, yeah. I think we'll probably get a montage of some sort. Maybe like announcements, but
or maybe we'll get the famous wall where you just put up a bunch of companies and logos.
Like Nintendo. Yeah.
Sony does it too. We have 100 studios around the world.
Hardware mostly.
I could see a few short trailers. I mean, of course, real gameplay demos will be held back for E3. I really think the only gameplay demo I can think that will show up is Killzone 4, but because that has been in development for a while.
Okay, but the other thing is, and I could be mistaken, from what I understand, the place they're holding this is huge. So I expect that at some point it might have like something playable there.
But the question is if we will see it on the live stream.
Not for us, but I mean, like, I assume the people there.
Because,
like, especially with the controller, you know, you want people to come in. Because a lot of the reactions, the initial reactions to the controller has been, that's ugly, it's, you know, it's hideous, it's kind of bulky. You want the press to come back, oh, yeah, we got time to go hands-on with the controller. You know, like, if you enjoyed the DualShock design, it's kind of this, you know, it's the evolution, the touchpad works well.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, we shall see. Do you expect...
I want to say a few more games thing that I might expect. I mean, Evolution is a given. They are showing something. We don't know quite for sure. I would just throw my Wipeout guesstimate out there. I think that would be pretty cool. And the other thing is, maybe Ubisoft will be there and show off Watch Dogs again.
Yeah, that's true. They like to show off these launch things.
I was going to say Assassin's Creed, but I think a new IP is their, you know, thing. And they do seem to be fair in that regards. But, I mean, okay, do you expect them to have, like, what services do you expect them to showcase? Because that does seem to be the next big thing for this next gen. It's like, not only what games and how, you know, what's under the hood, but what are you giving me in addition to being able to play games?
I mean, stuff like Netflix is a given. I think they will throw that stuff out there. Just saying, yeah, of course, we will have Netflix, Hulu, blah, 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 blah.
It'll probably be like, all the stuff you're used to on PS3.
Yeah.
They'll be there on Orbis. I expect to see some kind of connectivity with the Vita and also Sony smartphones and tablets.
Well, I was going to ask that. Do you expect the Vita to be there beyond that?
No.
Beyond that, no. But I do think it'll get a mention along those lines.
Okay.
Accessories to the Orbis.
The one thing that's also been floating around as a rumor, the thing is, we don't know. I would expect they will mention it, but I don't know if it's something they can or will show off completely. The share feature.
That's interesting.
That people have been talking about.
Yeah, I'm extremely compelled by that. I'm hoping they show that off. But I think that's something you want to show off when you show off the games as well, though.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking myself how much or if they will show it. Maybe they'll explain how it works and then show it at E3.
They'll probably have, here's a concept, here's an idea, like, let's say you're playing Uncharted and this happens and that happens, you share it, and then the other happens. And then what they'll do is, obviously it'll be different per use case in games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just feel like it would
they'll
be
have
better
an example like, case of what to do and when.
Yeah, I one of those E3 things like, oh, here's us playing Uncharted. Oh, I just got this amazing kill. Let me send it to my friend via YouTube. And then you press a button and you can automatically share it. Yeah, it's 15 minutes of your game. Yeah. And, but I assume that would also be like a video, because you don't want that to get screwy on a live demo.
Yeah, probably.
Do you expect any live demos, or just people talking and videos?
Like I said, I expect actually Killzone 4 to be live, maybe even the Evolution thing.
Okay, do you expect it to be playable?
For the press?
No, like, on the, like, you know, like
at
sometimes...
the event.
Just, yeah. Do we know how long this event is?
Both?
No,
too?
We don't.
Maybe.
Okay.
I expect a focus on the hardware.
I do, too. I expect, you know, focus on the hardware, some graphically impressive games, I think some basic services. I think maybe they'll mention how they plan on evolving the PlayStation Plus network on the PS4, like what it means.
I just want to throw one thing out there as you're saying this. Remember how the Wii U was announced? Even back then, the press had the chance to play around with some tech demos, which on some of them turned out to be Nintendo Land stuff.
That's a good point. If they have something playable, I would expect tech demo more than game.
Yeah, I can see that. Like the rubber ducky stuff.
Yeah.
Again, I think most of it, again, is focused on the hardware and focused on making sure people know that the PS4 controller is safe, and if you're a quote-unquote hardcore game, you have nothing to worry about, even though it has a touchpad now.
Yeah.
And
especially if you have new features like that, I would expect to have some tech demos that people can play around with.
Yeah. Like, it feels, you know, like you want that positive word of mouth. It feels responsive. It feels good in our hands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because hardcore gamers are the people you have to really coddle and make sure they feel loved every day. do you expect, I mean, this is Sony, so it's probably given new IPs at this event, or is that something you say for E3?
It's like I said, the Evolution thing. I can see it being Wipeout. I can see it being something completely new. But I definitely expect it to be a racing game.
Okay. Speaking of racing games, do we expect to see Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer!
To be honest, I wish. Because I could use a new one, a good one.
Wait, the last one came out, what, like around the last console launches, wasn't it?
It usually comes out around...
It depends what you would say is the last Ridge Racer. Let's say it this way.
Yeah, I do think we'll see something like that.
They tend to hit launch windows pretty well. They did, there was a PS Vita version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a 3DS version, I think, too, right?
Is there? I don't know.
Yep, also launched.
I think the only system that has missed out on the launch Ridge Racer has been the Wii and the Wii U.
So it would be a shame if it wasn't there.
So, Martin wants his Ridge Racer. He wants his Duck demo. He needs tradition, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a traditionalist.
I mean, I think it goes without saying that we'll all be watching this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you expect it to start on time?
Oh. No.
No.
Okay, so let's get estimates. How much of a day are we talking? 10 to 15, 20,
half
an hour?
I'm gonna go.
I think it'll be a little bit more on time, just because, like, E3, all the journalists are kind of rushing over from the Nintendo conference usually, traditionally.
But no, because Sony's press conference is at the end of the night the last 2 years, away from everything.
Well, I don't know. I'll say 15 minutes.
I said 20.
I was going with 15 as well. Who knows? I think that's it for Sony. Is there anything else you folks want to talk about in regards to that and the rumors and what we can expect on Wednesday?
One thing. Are you excited?
I am excited because new hardware, new consoles always excite me. At the same time, like, there's nothing right now that Sony has in its bag of tricks that excites me. Like, I mean, and we went through this last week as well. It's the same thing with Microsoft. Like, even when the Durango rebuilds, like, I don't know. Like, maybe they'll have a brand new IP that blows me away. But there's, like, nothing that connects with Sony that I really need. I have Uncharted, but it's not something that I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Uncharted 4, 5, or whatever you want to call it. So, I'm excited to see what they have. I'm not so excited from a game standpoint.
I'm excited to see everybody shut up about it.
That's
yes,
not going to
okay,
happen.
Next gen is here. You can be quiet now.
Yeah, I'm just excited just because of the fact it's next gen. Like, it'll be pretty.
Because next gen doesn't affect me at all, so...
I am personally very excited because I'm so sick of this old hardware that I just want new things. And, well, personally, I usually very much like the first-party output of Sony. So even sequels would be fine with me, but Sony's also always good for new IPs. So, we'll
see. And it's not about their output. It's just in general, like, I enjoy their output, and I've said it before, as a consumer, they have the most, you know, consistent first-party releases. It's just a lot of their games don't do much for me in a, oh man, this gets me excited. It's more like, oh, I'll pick this up because it looks fun type deal. Like, I mean, I doubt we'll see an Infamous 3. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I really doubt we're going to see any more of the PlayStation All-Stars.
All right.
Brand.
We haven't even mentioned Sucker Punch. They could be showing something off. Who knows? It's been a while since Infamous 2.
We've heard rumors that Sumo's working on Little Big Planet 3.
Yeah.
Which is Media Molecule free to have a launch title or a launch, you know, a game within the first year of the system.
Well, they are working on Tearaway.
Exactly. How big?
Yeah, it's a Vita game.
It's probably doesn't require that many people to do the Vita title, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, Sony has a lot of development houses, so, and they have a lot of people who haven't been working on stuff recently or who have been really quiet since they last released. Like, what are the Resistance people doing? Oh, I guess that would be Fuse.
Yeah
exactly. That's what they're doing.
That's how much I remember the game. Which is sad, because we had new previews yesterday.
Yep, and still nobody cares.
That's so sad. Oh, yeah, and I guess the other thing would be PSN. Like, is it just the PSN store?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I guess you can see stuff in that. Or is that something you say for E3? Because as clear as...
it would just be like, this is how different the service is now, not this is what's going to be on it.
It'll be like, every game that comes out will also be available day one digitally, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but that's something I think they need to do. I mean, well, maybe not every title, but a lot of the titles. I mean, Nintendo is doing it, so...
No, it needs to be every title.
Yeah, I think it'll be every title.
Yeah, I don't get the point of picking and choosing. Like, I guess the third party's like, really, like, we don't want to be...
May I remind you that the PSP Go had... They picked and chose what title was available. Titles were available digitally day one. It needs to be every title.
Okay, and in that same regard, and this is PS4 related, but it's also Sony related, they need to get a set time. It's been 7 years now.
And they especially need a time that's not like a day apart for different regions.
Yeah, I mean, nobody knows when the PlayStation Store updates. We just know it's Tuesday.
And for us, it's Wednesday around 6, at least in Germany.
So, when you said a day apart, I thought you meant, like, update, like, Tuesday night first and Wednesday morning. You mean it's a whole different
day? Yeah, it's a whole different day. I mean, why don't we also get our update on Tuesday? Just 6 hours earlier than you.
And if you're lucky, you might get... Well, the thing is, in Europe, you don't even know if the same games are coming out, because how long did it take them to release Counter-Strike Global Offensive? Is it even out yet in Europe on PSN?
Exactly, they need to get this shit unified, just like Microsoft did.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter because Sony treats Europe much better than they treat the States. But
not when it comes to digital releases, they don't.
I was about to say, compared to PSN Plus, like, you folks getting Sleeping Dogs this month. And
didn't get Sleeping Dogs.
That's, well, okay, the rest of Europe got Sleeping Dogs then, not my fault. Maybe it's too violent for Germany because you folks can't download anything on the Wii U's eShop before 11
p.m. Well, no, that's a blanket across Europe because of Germany. So cheers for that, Germany.
Oh, and Sony hasn't even mentioned what we are getting as the replacement yet. They said, you didn't know you're getting a replacement. We don't know what or when.
It's going to be March. Like, oh, the month's over. Forget about it.
And the thing, though, is that first they actually said that Sleeping Dogs would be coming out over here, but then they backpedaled.
It happens. It happens. So I think that will do it for us this week. Hopefully, if I can work this out, we were supposed to do a very special 100th episode, but, you know, there was so much news and so much excitement, and the new system always trumps all. So we decided to do this. Hopefully, I'll try to get some special meet-the-host-type segments up throughout the week if we can schedule it. Until then, for Jason, Martin, Daniel, and myself, this had been Dude Wilden episode 100.
100.